morning, everyone. Welcome to the planning committee on the 9th of September. PL 3119 to receive and approve. Apologies for absence, Mr. Clark.
Apologies received from councillors Hart and Clark. Acceptable reasons have been given.
Okay, so
Chair, councillor Hart, district councillor Hart, she's at Walton Parish Council now, so we're splitting our duties.
Thank you. Can I have a proposal to accept those apologies? Councillor Cowley, seconded Councillor Wilson. Those in favour? Unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
PL 3219, to receive any declarations of interest and dispensations. Has anyone got an interest to declare? Councillor Cowley.
Yes. So I've just got the agenda. I have a non-statutory interest on PL 3719I, the Melbourne Baptist Church, because the applicant Stuart Clark is a neighbour and friend of mine.
Thank you. Do you request a dispensation?
I have requested a dispensation from the clerk, and the clerk granted it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Anything else from anyone? Okay. Moving on to PL 3319 to approve the minutes of the last planning committee on the 12th of August 2019. Does anyone have any comments?
No.
Mr. Clark, have you received any comments?
No.
Okay. So then, can I have a proposal to accept those minutes? Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Cowley. Those in favour? Unanimous. PL 3419 to report back on those minutes. Mr. Clark, anything to report, sir?
So just bear with me one moment, please, Chair.
Dr. Sonny.
No, sorry. I thought for a minute it was another meeting, I'm confusing you with.
No problem. So nothing to report back, thank you. Okay, PL 3519, public participation. So we have a member of the public here who wishes to speak, so I'll lift standing orders and allow you to do so.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. My name's Colin Sweet. I'm on the senior leadership team of Melbourne Baptist Church. I have responsibility for the church to look after the fabric of the building. We've submitted planning permission as to knock down and replace our church hall. The original church building has been in there since 1856, but the church hall building dates back to the 1950s. Apparently it's an American hut that we got post-war. So it was only going to be a temporary measure, but it's been there a long time and has served its purpose. It's a single reinforced concrete building that connects the main building via a small coffee lounge. The church hall needs refurbishment and substantial maintenance. As well as we'd like to bring it up to date with disability access to the building. We currently use portable ramps and bridges to get people with wheelchairs in, so in the new development we'll have proper ramps put in to make it easier for disabled people to get into the building. We think the cost effectiveness of this building to refurbish it would be too great, so therefore our proposal is that we take it down and replace it with a more environmentally friendly building. It's a single skin building and we lose a lot of heat out of it. But the proposal is a new environmentally friendly building, as well as extending the coffee lounge between the church and the hall. The hall is used to provide for church activities as well as for the community. We successfully had in the summer over somebody at Holiday Club, which was run, and many children came in. We had 40 plus children came in to run Holiday Club for them. On a weekly basis, we run a mother and children group, craft club, coffee morning, and the scouts use the hall. So it's now time that we brought something more modern and a bit more friendly for them. The new development we're proposing will also increase off-road parking facilities, so that will give us greater air and take problems off the road that there may be there. We currently leave our gates open so that people that attend the school and the car park and the children's centre next door, so that they can use the for dropping off and collecting. I'm sure quite early, a short term for doing it, but it's there for them as well. So that will continue, and there'll be extra parking spaces for that. So that's basically our proposal that we're asking for. So I'm open to any questions that you might have or
okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
Thank you. We're in both standing orders for the moment. We come on to PL 3619, which is decision notices. Two decisions have come in. One is for a proposed garage conversion and a link building, 21 The Moor. That was approved, which tied in with our support. And item B is demolition of the existing dwelling, construction two chalet detached dwellings at the clunch pits at the top of London Way. The appeal for that was dismissed. Our original comment was to object. So both tied in with our own opinions. Okay, we come on to PL 3719. If no one has any objection, I will move item I to the top of the list since we have a member of the public here. And then he can go away.
Okay.
Yep, so that is demolition of the existing hall and construction of a new hall, coffee lounge and meeting room at the Baptist Church. Does anybody have any comments or thoughts on those plans?
I think it's a great idea.
I do as well.
So do I.
This is a councillor Hale.
Just one question for Mr. Sweet, if I may.
You may indeed. I'll raise standing orders.
You mentioned scouting. Was that the all-encompassing scouting, i.e. cubs, guys and all the rest of it, or is it just for the older group?
No, we currently only have the older group with us, the scouts, at the moment, because the cubs are next door in the primary school, and we use that. If we were approached, we would believe you didn't consider any approach from them.
It was just I couldn't remember where they were.
Yeah.
So,
I know that because I work in the schools, so
sure.
I'll look up after them.
Oh, lovely, thank you.
I mean, to my mind, it's an excellent plan, and granted, I only gave the planning a cursory glance because I ran out of time looking at everything else. But the concept of a temporary accommodation in the 1950s, there's a lot of those still about.
Yeah.
I can appreciate why you want to get rid of it and start again. I would be in favour of that.
Adds to the community. Unlike many planning applications, it's actually beneficial to the village. So and to the site. So I don't think it's going to have too many
parking, school pick up and drop off. The extra spaces would definitely be useful. It's a little crazy in there at times. Okay, so I'm support with no further comment.
Yeah.
Okay, goes in. Can I have a proposal? Councillor Cowley, seconded Councillor Wilson. Those in favour? That will be everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I'll reinforce standing orders. Thank you very much.
Okay, good night.
Okay, back to plan to agenda order then. We'll start with PL 3719A, variation of conditions for hard and soft landscapes. That's conditions 4 and 5, and condition 6, the metal railings of planning permission for the land to the east of New Road in Melbourne. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but I couldn't work out what the variation was that they were asking for, because there was a single drawing on there, presumably an updated drawing of hard landscape. There was nothing about soft landscape and nothing about railings.
I haven't looked at any of the documents.
In your original application, if you recall, there were metal railings right the way along the front, and as you came back down the side, where between East Barn, I think it is, and the side of the property there, there were going to be some planting and metal railings and what have you to make a bit more privacy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as hard standing was concerned, the square patch you see in front at the moment, the quadrangle in front of the building on the L shape, that was going to be landscaped for tactile and what have you, because of the use of the building with the dementia in that unit, with raised beds, seating, pagodas and all that kind of stuff for shade. So I don't know what, frankly, they were going to, unless it's changed.
I mean, can you bring up the single drawing from that plan? That'd be the one. That doesn't really tell me what's changed.
That's the car park, isn't it? Well, that's the front.
No, that's the front of the building.
So that's the last day, I suppose.
No, that's East and West Barnes.
Where? There. That's
top left is East and West Barnes. That's not.
This is the front here, that's East Barn.
Yeah.
So, can you come up a bit? By the way.
That's down.
Sorry. Yeah, this is New Road then.
Yeah.
So, essentially that was going to be filled, all of this was essentially all filled with hard standing and paths off and
well,
bits.
That's that white bit is the building, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Well, that's it then, it's still filled then, it's no different then.
Yeah, as well, the white bit's well, building and then it's surrounded by...
Yeah, that's right, that's what I say, I can't see what the variation is.
There was going to be a gate here that went through into the site against the, yeah, through here. That was all going to have railings. This front wall or whatever was a low wall with railings on the top.
But I mean, is that going to have it from that plan, can you see?
No, there's these little dots. Oh, railings. But then
there's nothing in the application form to suggest what the changes might be, so I don't think we can make a decision on this.
I must admit, I didn't read the sub-notes on the right. Is there anything up there that...
That's as good as a resolution as it's on that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell
you one thing, Chair, if I may.
You may.
Come down and start banking. Stop. That one. Corduroy paving denotes steps. If you recall, we have the issue here of the steps on the side of the building. We've got to put corduroy, which is like a slab with the strips across, which denotes steps.
Yeah.
The pimples denote road. Right? So.
So it says there to delineate localised slopes within the car park.
So now we drop curbs.
It's slope is a slope. You don't necessarily have to have a corduroy for a slope. It's a step.
They can put it.
It's a big deal, I suppose. But I was just going to say, if they've got a step, then they need to be a residential care.
But the blurb on the variation talks about, I think it's this one, talks about trying to fit in with existing site levels and talking about a different entrance as well, slightly different entrance.
Could the clerk scroll down to see the rest of the legend?
Nothing obvious that's changed, is there?
No. Just about levels,
then. Hang on, you've got a revision schedule on the revised filing client's comments, and that doesn't really tell you very much.
No.
There's no revised variation on that, is there? I think you're right, you can't really.
No, and that is only the hard standing. It doesn't seem to, well, maybe it's all included in the same drawing, but.
No other information at all then?
No. There's two comments from district, there's one from highway saying, yeah, it's okay. One about drainage saying, yeah, it's all contained. And then there's two sets from neighbours, one of which says insufficient information, which I agree with, and the other says give me a bit longer to look at it, I think. I mean, this was all gone through in great detail at the time of the appeal and the reserve matters when it came through, and it was hacked around an awful lot. Although I say there's no information, insufficient information, I'd be minded to object to it on the grounds that we went through it very carefully to get the original plans approved. But I don't have a reason for objecting.
Would it be that, if I may, to offer the objection based on the fact that there is no explanation as to what the changes are? You sent a plan, they've sent a plan which doesn't obviously give the information. And since this has to be understood by members of the public as well as this planning committee, the information is lacking.
Well, I think short of printing out an A0 and then comparing two side by side, it's going to be almost impossible.
It's their duty to offer the information, so that can we change this to this?
That's what I would expect.
Yeah, and perhaps that's the reason for the objection, Chair. Or words to that effect.
Yeah. Could you proceed that, Mr. Clark?
Yes, you're objecting because you haven't given enough information. It's as simple as that. So status quo is
insufficient information, known about what the changes are. There was an awful lot of discussion at the time of the appeal and the reserve matters when that came through. There's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing before that was all approved.
I think it'd be fair to say you would have expected the applicant to have played ball and explained themselves as to what they were going to do. It might be worth writing that down, Chair, because this is a point of order here. A lot of work has been put in by everybody, including this parish council especially, to get it right, and it's been a reasonably easy ride once the application was approved. So I think to explain themselves would have been prudent.
Would have been nice, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we are resolving to object on the grounds of insufficient information, that they should have been explicit as to what's being changed, and they don't even appear to have put the information there, and that we spent a lot of time before it was originally approved. So without real good reasons, then there shouldn't be any changes. Does anyone have any comments on that proposed?
No, I think that's fair.
Okay, well, I shall propose that. Councillor Cowley seconding, those in favour. Thank you very much. Unanimous. Okay, item B is an appeal against the rejection of the 160 houses being built at the north end of the village on the west of Cambridge Road, just north of TTP.
Can I introduce this item?
Yes, certainly. Yeah.
Thank you. So just to report to Commissioner Denner, there are two reasons why this application is on the agenda. The first is to notify the Parish Council that we now have a date. We have a date for this appeal, which is going to be conducted by hearing, and that date is the 12th of November. There won't be an opportunity to speak at the hearing. You can only do that when appeals are determined by an inquiry. So it's just a hearing at which the planning inspector will go over all the written representations that have been made or are about to be made. Should the Parish Council wish to withdraw or modify its original comments, then you have until September 17th to do so, hence the reason for it being on the agenda tonight. And in terms of accessing those original comments, if you were to click on the link in the agenda of the original applicant application, then all the comments that the Parish Council made at the time are in that list of documents, of which there are about 114, I think. So that's that. So firstly, committees should determine tonight whether they want to withdraw or modify their comments that were made at the time. Second reason why it's on the agenda is because of the hard copy of a report that I've tabled in front of you tonight from the S106 officer at South Cams, who again has said that the appeal is forthcoming. And in the event that the appeal is allowed, then there needs to be a strategy in place for S106 obligations that would be set down in any forthcoming S106 agreement. And the S106 officer has requested the input of the parish council to this end, essentially in layman's terms, they want a wish list. The deadline for getting that information into them is this Friday. Hence, it's on the agenda for tonight. And again, in all the original documentation that was submitted by the parish council and other stakeholders at the time of the application, this issue of S106 considerations and contributions was discussed quite heavily and at length by the parish council. That information went off to the district council and was put together in the form of a compiled report by the S106 officer, where all of our sort of desires, if you like, were captured and put down in writing. I've got a hard copy here if anyone wants it, but it is also on the planning website if you wish. So essentially, the committee have an opportunity tonight to decide whether they want to change or withdraw or add to that list of S106 considerations that went forward. And at the end of the report that I've put in front of you, there is communication from District Councillor Hales, who has added in a list of S106 considerations that he thinks we should look at, much of which have already been submitted to South Cams anyway, some of which haven't. So, okay, to summarise then, two reasons why this is on the agenda. First, to decide if you want to amend appeal representations, and the second, to understand where you want to go from here with S106 contributions.
So we'll take it in those two parts. First of all, do we have any desire to modify, withdraw or add to any of the objections that we had originally? District Councillor Hale, do you have a comment to make, sir?
If I may.
You may indeed, otherwise I would not have asked.
I wonder whether or not it was the committee's gift to add some further objection, as well as to discuss the 106 situation.
Stick with the objections initially. Yeah.
One of the ones that struck me, if Chair recalls, the application has come forward from a plot of land to the rear of Cherry Farm, which sides this actual plot, the houses. It's a paddock, and if I recall, the applicant wanted access for a gate so that they could get into their land from the Cambridge Road.
Yes, I recall this being discussed at length and postulating what else it might be used for. Unfortunately, such things are not part of the plan.
No. However, County Highway's comment was that there were going to be so many exits onto Cambridge Road if this was given permission. And I point you to this application, which has two access points rather than just one.
And we'll get a site busier.
And we'll get a dam site busier, etc., etc., etc. So, what is good for Goose should be good for Gander on that thing. So I would perhaps make reference to that again. The fact is that the county have already said that there are too many entrances across the cycleway onto the Cambridge.
Do you have, off the top of your head, the planning reference for that?
No.
It can be found.
It can be found. It was land to the rear of Cherry Farm. That's that one. Second one is the vacancies at the primary school. With the clerk's assistance, the clerk has accessed the county council education section, which shows the admissions to Melbourne Primary this year, this term, if you like, ready for this whole year. Would you be able to bring it up? Essentially, of the 60, pan 60 for this year, 56 spaces are being offered. I spoke with the Chair of Governors this evening, and the reason for the 56 and not 60 is that there is, to date, no children have come forward from the 199, which the school extension was actually paid and designed for by the 199. Mm-hmm. So if we take those figures there, Chair, at the moment there are 4 spaces in Melbourne Primary in the start of the new term, 2019.
That's reception.
Reception, exactly. Mm-hmm. Where there are likely to be 74 children coming forward from 199, of which they are starting to occupy either this or next month. So
do we know what the demographic is of the age range? Well,
this is a county's figures. Counties say that there are, on the basis of the number of houses and the tenure of the houses, that there is likely to be 74 children coming forward from that site of primary school age. It then said something in the region of 30-odd kids for the reception, or whatever they call it, preschool, and 60-something, I think it was, for the college. The college are in a better position, they have the spaces, so it's not a consideration.
Yeah, the 74 for primary school, got 7 years, that's 10 and a bit, well, how you get bits, I don't know, but 10 children per year. Mm. I know, because my own daughter's there, that year two is full. They have one space, they've got 59 kids in that year. I believe year one is somewhat similar. So yeah, certainly.
Foundation year has got something like 5 or 8 spaces.
Okay. So insufficient if the average, yeah, if the 74 is spread evenly.
I think my point here is not to call the conversation. Two members of this committee, or three of us rather, will remember the conversation from Countryside. Mm-hmm. And that was their intention to bus children from this site to other schools. Foxton, I think, was mentioned at one point.
Foxton, Melbourne.
They
do have a couple of vacancies, I think, but
I recall at the time that the when the application came in, that the applicant were suggesting they would put forward, was it, They were putting forward a sum of money that they said would fund a bus for a number of years, which this committee, well, in fact the full parish, didn't it?
Full parish council.
And which the parish council decided was not enough to run that service. And anyway, Meldrith turned around and said, no thanks, we don't want children being bused in the village, because they didn't have space. No. We had a letter from Meldrith Primary School saying they didn't have space either.
We have a real issue here, because I think, given the sustainability issues of trying to reduce car usage and encourage walking and what have you, which the 199 has offered us, and the 160 advocated that everybody would be walking and cycling into the village, the fact that the children would have to go by some vehicle or another to another village to be educated at primary level seems churlish at its best. Likely that mothers and fathers, parents, whatever you wish, will take their child by their own car and take it to the school rather than shove it on a bus. So,
especially to a primary school.
Indeed, I think the children are too vulnerable at age. So I think what we're looking at here is 160's worth of 74 children, if you like, being packed off in a car every day, twice a day to come back.
160, 199ths of 74.
There you go. Right, so we're looking at a lot of movements of vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nonsense.
I agree. Plus we know that this is only the first half of the development.
Indeed.
Although again, we can't take that into consideration.
That's that one. The other one, Chair, is the obvious one, which we all spout first, which is the GP surgery. We know for a fact that the GP surgery is essentially full. They have the unenviable task of trying to fit us all in, including the 190 now and a 75 bed care home. So, good luck with that. As we have been informed that the out of hours is now not at Melbourne, the Out of Hours is now in Royston on a Tuesday night between 8 and 10, the Roysia surgery or the Royston Health Centre. Mm-hmm. So already anyone wanting to have an appointment for a late night gets in their car, can't walk to the surgery. So straight away we have the issue of sustainability and impact on the existing community.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but both of those issues have been brought up already.
No, the Out of Hours has changed. Oh, it so used to be...
Yeah, but the general availability in GP and school.
Yeah, but what we're trying to reiterate here is the fact that the numbers have changed now that the school is full. This application is saying, and I think we need to reiterate it, bearing in mind none of us are going to be sitting at a desk saying this, it's going to be written, right? So the inspector will look at our written representations, this council's representation. So I think if we could reiterate the issue of the school children and the problems therein, but also with the GP surgery, one of the significant changes is the after hours. That's now not in Melbourne on a Thursday, it is now in Royston on a Tuesday. So we already have a difference now with our GP service as a result of not being able to muster the time. I suppose the obvious one here is that where we discussed the likelihood of people leaving the 199 and going to the 505 and then into Royston to Tesco's or other supermarkets of similar ilk, right?
Aldi, Marks and Spencer's.
Indeed, right.
Morrison's.
This development has no such opportunity. They will come out of their development, turn right and head down the high street through the centre of the village to go the quickest route to Tesco's or other said establishments. Right? They will not go up to Shepworth at the turnpike and turn left onto the bypass and do that. It's an absolute nonsense. So again, we have issues now of increased traffic coming through the village just to go out of the village to other shops.
And even if they did turn out and go left, the Cambridge Road is already a very dangerous, fast road, and they'd be coming out of there crossing the cycle path, and an additional 160 odd vehicles crossing the cycle path, which we're championing a lot at the moment, is not to be welcomed.
Indeed. I think it's been mentioned earlier, Chair, I think we looked to ask the clerk, or you were looking to ask the clerk, to write to Anglian Water to confirm one way or the other the impact of this development on the sewerage system. I think that was going to come from a futures committee too. It's going to be coming through you essentially at some point, I think that's right.
Because the sewerage will be flowing down past Thatcher Stanford's Close.
They did say that
it's a different input.
No, it's not. It all comes to the same pump station. But,
but it's a different pipeline to get there.
Yeah, but they did say they weren't going to pump into the village at all. That they were going to pump directly into the sewage treatment plant over in Meldrith. And if you recall, when we first started the argument with the 199 and the sewage issue, the Anglian Water said that A, the system is at 100% in the gravity system in the village, but also the treatment plant across the way, the other side of the A10, was nearing its capacity and there would have to be some serious works done to that. So by default, if you pump 160 houses into that, or more houses into that one, does that have an impact on what we can pump into that here? So I think as far as we're concerned, we need to have a definitive from Anglian Water in writing to say that everything is wonderful in the garden.
Well, we can ask for that, but I doubt we'll get a response in time.
But perhaps we need to make mention of that in our objections to the inspector. And especially as the 50 extra cubic metres that Hopkins Homes are now putting into this system, according to the 160, aren't going to be touching it. So that's fine. I don't think I've had any more objections.
I don't think we've got many objections which are different to the original. I found the original application on the website, and obviously our original decision was to object last time it came around, with a long list of reasons. So I guess we just need to...
114.
That's 114 documents on the planning thing. So do we have any new objections?
I don't think so. I certainly don't want to withdraw any of the objections, because I don't think anything's changed significantly.
It would be good to enhance the objections, even if it's a rewrite of what we have. I think we really do need to look at
it. It would be an appendix to what we have. I'm not going to rewrite that.
No, I appreciate that, but I think it's an update on our comments, if you like. Mm.
Yeah, I've written down everything you've just been out.
Did we on the original thing say, talk about the fact that it's outside the village framework and it's like the other side of TTP?
I understand that to be one of the objections in South Cairns now.
Mm. And we now have a 5-year land supply.
We do.
Again, that's an objection from South Cairns.
And it's also the strength of the number of houses that have already been delivered within the village framework itself.
And outside, in the case of the...
Well, the village framework was suspended during plan, so that's why the 199 got what it did, but the plan was made...
22 and 24.
The 64, again, was... Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So, have we got any more comments relating to objections?
No. No, I would very much like to object.
Very much like to object.
Chair, could I suggest that the resolution be that the planning committee instruct me to make contact with the planning inspectorate and reiterate to them that our original objections, as submitted at the time, still stand, and the further objections we have are along the line of the comments made by District Councillor Hale. Separate additional
letter
and send that directly to the planning
rather
than South
Council. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'll propose exactly that wording. Seconded, Councillor Cowley. Those in favour, unanimous. Okay, so unless anyone's got any more comments, any more objectionable comments? Objecting comments? Then we'll move on to the second part, which is the S106 monies. Has everyone had a chance to peruse the document?
Yes.
Okay. So, this S106 money is provisional on the appeal being successful. If it's not, then we don't get it. But if we don't submit, then we don't get either, because it will be set in stone at the point at which the appeal is approved, if it's approved. So, what do we want?
So, if I can sort of offer a brief summary of sort of where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's the covering letter from James Fisher, which is on page one of the report I take up tonight. Where he alludes to a few different figures. If you go back through the planning documents from 2017, he wrote a report, an S106 opinion report, if you like, which has a number of suggested contributions that would come to the parish in the event that this development went ahead. For example, there is potentially £74,000 for the extension of this building. At the time, there was a desire on the part of the parish council to replace the skate park up at the moor, and there was a suggested contribution of £60,000 towards that, in addition to the developers providing an equipped children's playground actually within the curtilage of the new development. Other figures, at the time, it would seem that there was a desire to put outdoor gym equipment on the recreation ground. £20,000 was requested for that. The main sort of discrepancy between this report from 2 years ago and the email that the S106 officer sent me in the last week or so is that he's proposing there is a figure that's potentially as high as £200,000 for the sports provision, whereas in 2017 the only figure I can identify associated with support provision was that £20,000 for gym equipment. So it would appear that there is quite a bit more money. So it is for council to decide what they want to spend that on, and that could be the provision of new sports facilities, or it could be enhancement to existing sporting facilities. Quite a wide range of activities that you can spend that sort of money on. For example, if a sporting ground has a car park, then use of that money to refurbish or resurface a car park, or add additional lighting, or bins, benches, street furniture, all totally acceptable. Or you could become a bit more ambitious and try and provide provision for sport that currently doesn't exist in Melbourne. The important thing, really, from the committee's point of view, is to get something in by the deadline, because once an S106 document is written and agreed, it can always be varied later on down the line, should you decide to, you want to add more information or tweak something. But if it's not there when you start to start with, then you've missed the boat.
Could we put in for £200,000 to refurbish Little Hans car park, for example, and then later on change that to provide something else entirely, as long as it's within the same category?
You could ask. They can also say no.
Councillor Kelly.
In terms of sporting provision within the village, the obvious hurdle to that is where? Space. Is it possible to sort of put an application such that some land in the development is sort of set aside and handed over to us, for example, to create, say, an all-weather pitch or something like that, and effectively request a donation of land and some and the money to turn that land into something useful?
Yes, it's a short answer. If you look at the plans of the original application, there are a number of green open spaces there, which could be transformed into formal open space. Or you could try and site some sporting provision on existing sites. For example, a number of parishioners over the last 12 months have mentioned to me that it's a shame there's no cricket in Melbourne.
I was thinking that, and just this weekend.
Cricket is something that could be put on, for want of a better term, within the our existing recreation ground, or we could go elsewhere.
Could do with the practice.
That was certainly going to be my nod, was towards laying a square and getting the provision up to shifting the football pitches around a wee bit, being able to actually lay a square up there, which. Yeah.
Logistically, there's no problem with a cricket outfield overlapping a football pitch. It's only the wicket that has to be separate from the pitches, for obvious reasons.
There is the space.
But you could also ask for some of that money to be put aside for enhancing provision within the pavilion, given that it would probably become a cricket pavilion as well as a sort of youth club sort of football pavilion.
Because the MAID committee were talking about looking for funding to extend the pavilion. So asking for S106 money to extend the pavilion. And because at the moment, as a renting out space, it's not particularly big. And so if we were able to extend it, and because I know there are problems with the changing rooms and storage and things like that, and turn that into a better pavilion, which would provide better facilities for football and cricket, and also a larger space that could be rented out. It's a community asset, it's a sporting asset. So perhaps.
On that very note, you've got indoor community space with 74,000, which is contribution in circa 74 towards the hub. But bearing in mind that there are already 106 monies in the system. There are 106 monies in the system for that refurbishment. Would it perhaps be better to say the indoor community space hub, which includes the pavilion, which is a community space, etc., etc., would perhaps reword that fraction so that you could then move that hub around as you saw fit, rather than
hub
secure it just for one, a pavilion this or hub or whatever, but make it a movable feast if you wish. Just rewrite that phrase in that particular, the 60k, at the 74k. The same you could argue with the former children's play area, But you mentioned, Councillor Cowley, the May committee. One of the comments that were made to Countryside was to fund the youth club. Right, so you could argue that 60k would go to about 5 years, almost 5 years worth of funding. So, of the youth club in the village, given the number of children likely to be generated of that age group from this development, you could argue that the 20, we need to revisit the £60,000 if we were to change that to funding for the youth club. And up that quite considerably to say for 10 years. Right, so we need to look at 10 years. The S106 is last for 10 years, and I think that's right, Clark, isn't it?
No, it lasts forever. You've got to spend the money within 10 years.
Okay, so yeah, let's look at it from that point of view. So the money that we would get as a community, we would need to spend within the 10 years on youth clubs, for argument's sake. Then we'd need to have something in the region of 120k, give or take, by today's prices of what we deliver at the moment. So you could argue the parish council was still precept to top that up, but it's got the bulk of it paid by this. So that would be that. So that's my comment on that one.
The, the letter from James here is talking about indoor space about 80,000. Is that the 74 that was there originally?
I would recommend that stay protected. The 74 for the hub. I think you can have that and the money from elsewhere to extend the pavilion.
Okay. So
200k would do that.
Some of it would.
Some of it would. If we look at 200k for a cricket square and extensions to the pavilion to accommodate the cricket.
Well, it's just a general revamp.
Do we have to have, for this submission, do we have to have like a fairly accurate costing on, let's say we were to do all-weather cricket nets outside and extend the pavilion and lay a square? I could probably find that information out in the next sort of 10 minutes from just emailing a couple of people, but do we need that to be fairly well dialed in? Because, you know, 200k for a new square and, you know, additions to the, you know, with the best will in the world, we are, you know, either shortchanging ourselves or possibly going.
Well, the simple answer to that question is the more evidence you can provide to suggest you've done your homework, the more robust the application is and the more seriously it will be treated. But you don't have to have that information.
But if that's going to be in by Friday.
They want the comments by Friday.
So if I was to rustle that up in the next sort of 24 hours and get an accurate one, I can send that through to you. Yeah. You can sort of have a look and then maybe just send it around everybody so that we've got, you know, a fairly dialed in.
So I suggest the minutes tonight read something along the lines of £200,000 for the extension stroke provision of sport in Melbourne, with an emphasis on sport that's not here at the moment.
Yeah.
To include alterations, let's call them alterations, rather than an extension to the pavilion, with a view to increasing capacity for sport. Because what they will want to see from this is that the impact of the development is mitigated by the use of the S106 monies. So you must be able to demonstrate that you can cater for more people than you could have before.
By altering the pavilion and...
Yeah, so yes. Alterations and addition of the cricket square.
Outdoor nets are pretty good as well, because it is already...
If you're going to do a cricket square, you may as well give them some practice area as well.
Yeah. Well, otherwise they end up using... I mean, I know this is a fairly comfortable set of moccasins for me, because I've had this conversation quite a few times based around the cricket in Melbourne and resurrecting cricket and how do we do it and where do we pull the people from and all this sort of...
Well, I know Folkestone Cricket Club is quite active and they're looking for space on occasion. They have discussed it with us in the past.
Yeah.
I could put a set of facts and figures together for cricket well before the deadline expires. I also think District Councillor Hale's suggestion of the 60k that is currently earmarked for the skate park to suggest that actually that 60k might be much better spent on enhancing the capacity of the youth club.
That's it. Yeah.
Given that it comes under the, you know, the broad heading of formal children's play space. That's what it's to be spent on. So funding the youth club in light of the number of developments that are coming towards Melbourne is definitely an excellent example of S106 money being used to mitigate the impact of a development.
Mm-hmm. And we would want to bump that up from 60k up to 120, 150. To allow for
that. I think at the moment it's about
10 years.
Actually, at the moment it's about, is it 12, 14 grand?
It's 14 pounds.
14.
Yeah. So 10 years, 140k. I mean, we look at it in the great scheme of things, is that we probably won't get any more development around here for a while. But yeah, we need to be able to cope. As Clark has said, it's about the provision and mitigate another.
Well, I mean, I can see if we get the sort of numbers we're thinking, then we would want another night for the youth club.
Mm.
You know, so you have another youth club meeting. Yeah. So that's an extra cost.
Yeah. And the reason for the increase is to cater for the 10 years.
Mm.
But I think we need to reiterate in that comment that the parish council still commits to funding the youth club as it stands, because it's not for this development to pay for the rest of the village, it's to mitigate itself.
Yes,
so
yes.
We need to emphasise the fact that this isn't to replace funding, this is to enhance funding. So, as you say, that's a spot on point, is the extra night. It's going to cost us God knows how much extra again. So.
Yeah.
Could I suggest, Chair, that the resolution be that I put together a list of bullet points which essentially says how much we think it's going to cost and why we want it for approval by the committee via email in time for me to send it all in on Friday.
Yeah, that sounds an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have another one, if I may. This one is very close to my heart, Chair. As you know, the Melbourne Hub have been in discussion with the GP surgery to bring non-medical consultations from the surgery to the hub, so that frees up consulting space for a GP to do their medical bits and pieces at the hub.
Yeah.
The GP surgery. The GPs are at a point of buying into this. That was only last week. So the 106 officer and myself worked on the 22 houses on the land to the west of the road, opposite the 199.
Yeah.
And a 106 provision called health was formulated and accepted. And that, I think, is for about 11 to 14 grand, something along those lines, right, for the 22 houses to provide some of those services in the hub. So the general principle would be that the hub wouldn't have staffing costs or anything like that. It would just be for the use of the room that that money would pay to allow the doctors to do some of the medics to do something here that doesn't require a medical procedure.
So essentially pay room rent.
Pay the room rent and the overhead for that. Yeah. So it would last quite a while. However, if we bring in other people, and you'll bear with me, that the hub is now delivering a damn sight more than just that aspiration. So I just wonder whether or not it's prudent to ask for something in the regions of health, right? To say we would like, well,
all of it.
The healthcare contribution will have all been calculated.
Well, that's,
in fact, I think I've seen it.
That's the NHS though, Clark. Yeah. The NHS have their own way of doing things, and that is never delivered in this village.
No,
it's always delivered somewhere else, which is kind of one of my pet hates as well. This is specifically to deliver health-related issues, whatever, in the village.
Yeah.
Might not be at the hub, it might be somewhere else in the village that we can do it, if we don't have the room here. But the point is that we need to ask for that. So it's a range of stuff.
I agree with you. Yeah, but my understanding is that the district council have already been amenable to suggestions that NHS contributions from other developments, which would normally go straight to the NHS, could come to the parish in order that outreach services could be put on at a location other than the doctor's surgery, which has the effect of ticking all the sustainability boxes in terms of the hub and potentially relieving a little bit of pressure from the doctor's surgery.
It's a perfect solution to me. I mean, I just you just got to look at the numbers then as to what we're looking to. I think we need to try to separate the two, because the NHS have the right to take that money if they so wish and make that application, and it would be a hard-fought battle to try and take it off them, as I've found to my cost. But the health one is
so the 22, did that come out of the NHS budget, or that's an addition?
It's addition. So I'm proposing that we have something north of 11 or 14 grand, whatever it is. You know,
so if we've got 11 off 22, then it's going to be.
You're looking at 50 plus.
Yeah.
That would significantly impact on our community in a positive way to be able to do all sorts. I mean,
just mitigate the impact of the development.
Mitigate the GP impact, because then they could put. Because I mean, one of the problems with the GP surgery is, if they do bring all the staff in, all the medical staff in at one time, they've got nowhere to put them.
So how much was it for the 22 houses? 11,000?
I think it was either 11 or 14.
It's about 77k then for 160.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I'm actually also...
It's a huge chunk of change. It's doing quite a lot with that.
Additionally, here is that Hearing Help has lost its funding from various sources and solely relies on contributions from persons with a hearing aid or whatever, having service, only on contributions that they turn up. That in itself kind of smacks as people being pushed to one side. That might be something where we could host Hearing Help in the village at Damsel once a month it comes at the moment, and pay for that service to come in for the hundreds of people who have hearing issues within the village. And frankly, anywhere else, but there you go. There are a whole list of things that we can add as far as a non-invasive medical advice. There's obesity clinics, there are not smoking clinics, there are all sorts of things that don't require a medic. There's a list as long as you're on.
Have we spent all the money yet?
And then some.
Yeah. Good.
So I've got a wording for a resolution here is that the clerk is to produce a list for agreement by email prior to Friday the 13th deadline.
That's good.
That's good. So I said. District Councillor Hales, again.
There's some more, Chair. You'll recall that the GCP have funded the Greenway cycleway down as far as Melbourne. And down to the Science Park with the intention to take it through the High Street and then back out the other way. If you remember the exhibition we had here, going down to the 505 with £1 million bridge across the Crossland.
Yep.
If the countryside application are as true to their word as they say, and 160 houses occupants will get on a bike to go to Royston to shop at Tesco's, they will need a safe route. And I wonder whether or not it might be prudent to ask for a contribution towards the £1 million bridge and the rest of that footpath, because the other part of it has not been delivered as yet. There is also the issue of the disabled ramp this side of the London platform at Meldrew Station, which still is in no man's land, if you like, and being delivered. The footpath is now delivered to the edge of the station platform because of the TTP and the 199.
But
people with a disability can't get up on the platform to go to London.
And they can't get across to go to Cambridge.
No, but we've got to take one step at a time. We could go for a lift across if you like, but that would be
not enough footfall.
But I think it might be worth asking for a contribution. Seeing as that Jonathan Matthew put in 50k, I think, have said they'll put 50k towards the bridge, and other big companies in Royston have done that, as well as TTP, I think, we put money towards it. It makes it only sensible that a big development like this coughs up. Is that something the clerk could look at?
Well, it's in Meldrew. I can make the suggestion.
The bridge over it's about the sustainability.
This development has categorically said that people will be cycling, going by train, and everything.
Yeah. And bike racks on the London platform as well, which
on the grass down. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there's all that kind of infrastructure that needs to be provided if they're going to be true to their word.
Yeah.
But the big one is the bridge to Rosny.
Talk too much about it because that's in Melbourne.
Yes.
So that was an additional bridge and
ramp
at the station, although that's Melbourne.
Bike racks. Well, it is cheap, but
it's our side of the railway line, so it's
about transport. Yeah. It's about transport links, so that doesn't.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm just saying it makes it slightly more difficult because it's in another parish. Yeah.
And may I finish on one last one?
You may.
And that's about the provision of bus information, bus timetable information. And you'll recall that the 199 are putting up a new bus stop, this Cambridge track, just mm-hmm. down by Vicarage Close, and also the electronic sign for the next buses are coming.
Yep.
Seems that we're now going to have probably 700 people plus potentially at the edge of the village on this development, 700 to 800 people, they will also need to know when the buses are coming and the bus stop. So I would perhaps put forward that we need bus stops and shelters both sides of the road with paved areas with electronic indicators on their bus stops.
I think that's all the end of the report.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Final page.
What page?
The email that you wrote that I put into the report was in front of you.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I'm just discussing the original commitment.
Yeah. Yep. It's all good.
Yep.
Is it then? You can't then.
Any more for any more?
No, lovely idea of cricket though.
Okay.
Have we got the team?
I've just sent you a load of stuff.
So, in that case, I propose that the...
Do you want me to read the draft one?
Yeah.
So, Clark to produce the list of S106 requirements for agreement by this committee by email prior to me sending it in on Friday the 13th deadline to include the points that were discussed tonight plus the original submissions made in 2017 plus the submissions provided by District Councillor Hales in the report that was tabled tonight.
Sounds reasonable. Can I have a proposal, please? Councillor Wilson, seconded by my good self. Those in favour, unanimous.
You never get a proposal seconded.
No. Okay. That was item B. Item C is a tree works under a TPO at 5 Priors Garden. I think this was just a haircut and
were there any neighbours' comments on this one? I can't remember. I got lost this to which one we didn't have neighbours' comments.
Well, I don't think there's much from anyone on either of the two tree ones.
No.
No,
that's all good.
So no further comments?
No
further comments.
Yep.
Proposed. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Those in favour, thank you. Unanimous. Item D, 6, post-mounted direction signs for the new care home at various points around the property. Some of them small, some of them large.
Actually all on the property.
All on the property, yeah. Yes.
So that's them. They all look much of a muchness, and the map in front of you shows where they're going to go. So the red.
The red dots denote where they are. Yeah. I have no comments on this. It seems eminently reasonable, yeah. Signposting they're proposing.
Agree.
So support with no further comment. Proposed by Councillor Cowley, seconded Councillor Wilson. Those in favour, unanimous. Okay. Item E is discharge of condition 7 for the cycle path detail planning permission for the 199. Now, the document in here, it's got an addition of the GCP cycle routes, but didn't seem to have. I went back to the original reserve matters and looked at the condition 7, and it talks about a plan for the cycle racks, and I don't see that in this discharge.
My understanding is the cycle maps are going in the high street.
I mean, the comment on the application is cycle path detail, but that doesn't really relinquish condition 7. They put a pretty picture of the proposed cycle racks, which look rather nice, but not where they were going to go within this application.
That were going outside the butchers.
No. I might be wrong actually in saying that those cycle racks were part of the 199 development.
Yes.
This is specific to the care home.
Care home stuff.
Didn't 199 have to go over in Mildred?
No, there was two. There was one in Mildred.
Again, they originally wanted to be outside the parish council.
The most of them, they weren't.
Yeah.
And they originally wanted to put them outside the leeches, and we said no.
That's right.
So they're now going where adjacent to the new bus stop in the corner of Vicarage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they could go both sides, couldn't they? I mean, you've got a car park, and then you've got a bus stop there. You could put something. Surely a bit of discussion going on with them and say, well, let's put a few there and a few over here. Can't think of it. Spread them out a little bit so people have got the option.
We could probably put some cycle stands in the car park in the area of motorcycles, because I've only ever seen one motorbike in there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just one at one time.
You could fill all those spaces that are closest to the road with cycle racks. I only ever used that for 3 p.m.
So a detailed cycle parking layout has been submitted. The application, the very discharge of conditions, doesn't seem to have that detail there.
So that's the original. Yeah, that's what we're just looking at now.
Yeah. And if you look at the VC, DC, then it's got cycle shelter data sheet and the travel plan. But that, although that's got the amendment seems to be the GCP cycleway, Melbourne cycleway, it doesn't seem to have a location.
No, that's just all kicked.
Yeah, just copy it straight from.
That is the original consultation. This is the first time I've looked at the document, my understanding is there is no detail of the.
So I don't think this. I would object to this discharge of condition because it doesn't actually discharge it.
So object on the grounds that there is no detail provided.
Yeah, it doesn't. The condition required a detail of where the cycle rack is going, and this is not in there.
Yeah. Just need a vote.
Proposed.
Seconded.
Councillor Cowdery seconding. Those in favour, unanimous. Thank you.
Chair, this is typical of this site. The 199.
It's getting painful.
It was submitted as one application, and in reserve matters then popped into two, and we had these two applications now running simultaneously, which is where the confusion comes from. Because when the cycle path was designed, it was under the 199, and it went all the way down and down to the doctor's surgery where it finished, and then popped up again going towards the station. But that was it. So why am I off a part of the cycleway? I have no idea.
Moving on, F is erection of a storage unit and change of level for a below ground swimming pool. This is at the very hidden away down the back of the Melbourne. Anyone have comments?
Fairly major development, but I don't think it's going to affect anyone particularly. So.
Oh, it's so hidden now, is the way you'd have to go searching to be able to see it.
Mm. Support that.
Can I comment?
Yeah.
Okay, proposed by Councillor Cowley, seconded by Councillor Wilson. Those in favour? Item G is our second tree works. This is in the conservation area. Again, it's short back and sides for, I think this one's four or five trees. Because the horse chestnut stop. I think it's this one that they're trying to stop overcrowding the car park, not the main village car park. I see no problem with this at all.
No.
So support, no comment?
Yep.
Councillor Cowley proposing, Councillor Wilson seconding, and unanimous. Okay, item H is conversion of one or two bays of driving range to a customer fitting room at Kingsway Golf Centre. I didn't find any files on that application at all. There was one blurb and nothing came up.
I wrote to them and told them about this, and I didn't get a reply. So that is what you have. And need to say, click on it, and you don't get anything.
Nothing there.
So there is literally no information supplied.
Yeah, so we can't make any decision at all. I can't say that we would object, but we just can't.
So I will make it so that the minutes reflect that I did write in.
Yeah.
This was middle of last week.
Mr. Clark, is that the fact you haven't had a response from the planning service?
Yeah, I wrote to the planning officer who's responsible for this case to say, look, there's nothing on the website. Because I had occasion to do that twice last week, one for another application which was sorted out, but this one wasn't.
Okay.
From memory, Dean Scrivener, or Scrivener, however you pronounce his name, I think.
Okay, so we'll move that to the next planning meeting, assuming it doesn't get resolved in the meantime. And so I can't really see that's going to be any big issue. Item I we've already attended to, and item J, they wish to change a planning obligation that came out of Westaway Development.
Can I report on this one, please?
Yes, please, because so this is just alphabet spaghetti. Yeah.
This is the other application that I had a problem with when I was compiling the agenda and making sure the plans were in order. This is the other one I had to write in about, because for some reason on the website, the District Council website, this is, they have put four maps of various streets in Cottenham up on the site, which have nothing to do with Worcester Way whatsoever. So I did query it, because the Parish Council owns land in Worcester Way that is adjacent to the application site. But I did get an answer on this one, and they have uploaded the correct documents. As far as I can work out, and I am no expert on this, they are seeking to amend the planning obligations so that residents who own shared equity properties in the area now have the right to buy, whereas previously they didn't. And there are a number of other areas in Melbourne where this has been changed. to do that. So I very much think this application is linked into mortgages. And
that was about the only bit of the application I understood. The rest was things of initials that I have not come across before.
It's Metropolitan Housing making sure that they are not financially disadvantaged.
I don't feel qualified to make an opinion on this.
Resolve not to say anything.
They are also making mention of progressing a development on RAF Brampton, where they've spent £29 million so far, and they will be essentially, looks like £16 million difference, I think, between the two, whatever they can spend and what they have. They're looking for a £75 million loan with National Australia Bank to fund this. I have a real problem with shared equity loans. They're there for a reason. There was the Chalk Hill Borough of several equity share, and it took best part of 3 years. And that was, Metropolitan that gave an equity share person, family, yeah, you can buy, no problem, which was against the 106 agreement, which was there was only up to 80% ownership, the staircase, you can only have 80%, and after that, then when you sell the property, you then move on. And buy another project, and then goes back to where it was before, which was the 50-50 or something, and then you go back up again and you carry on. So it gives people, because they take that 80% share of the profit of the house, and then the HA, the Housing Association, get the 20%, so they reinvest that, and then that's how it enables people to continue on the ladder. But if you sell it on, you've lost that ability. So that took 3 years, and it was an exceptional case, and I think they veered away from the agreed formats and what have you to allow this, because they'd been promised it by the Housing Association, so there was going to be a legal battle as well. But this is about what they can borrow. When you read the rest of it, it looks like what they can borrow. And does that affect the Parish Council's land ownership? Positively or negatively?
I don't think it does. I see no material planning considerations in this at all. I think the only reason it's an application is because it's varying a condition or discharging a condition. I'm not entirely sure. There was a lot of legalese in there.
There was a lot of legalese, a lot of alphabet spaghetti. I don't feel qualified to express an opinion.
My advice would be the resolution is to make no comment.
Could you not ask for an explanation, Chair? Prior to making a decision, say a plain English explanation of what it is you're doing, so that you understand for the future. I mean, if you don't understand,
it's not a bad idea.
Right, this isn't going to go away with other housing associations. I mean, I will say that the right to buy is in statute. That's fine, right? But there is housing stock to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford to buy a house, go buy one. Don't take it from someone who can't. That's a personal opinion. And probably political, but there you go.
I tend to agree. Having said that, I bought my first house because it was right to buy, and I was third person down the row afterwards.
That's right, but the right to buy is the right to buy. That's still there. But
Mm-hmm.